Welcome to the weekly podcast all about turning the Great American RV Adventure into stress-less camping. Each week, we explore tips, tricks, ideas, and destinations, and talk to the happiest campers in the RV world. Pull up a seat at the campfire as we enjoy some stress-less camping.
Welcome to the campfire.
Hey, I'm Peggy.
And I'm Tony. And we're two RV industry veterans who travel part-time in a small trailer, looking to share big adventures and help you with great tips, tricks, and discounts.
I am afraid I'm going to cough, so I'm not going to talk very much. This is going to be kind of a weird episode. Tony has a topic, he's going to talk about it. I might throw in some commentary, but mostly I'm just going to try not to cough in his ear.
Yeah, Peggy has been feeling very under the weather. She got to visit
the urgent care
twice.
Yeah, I have been there twice in Texas since we left on this trip. This is just like an allergy. I just am coughing. It's just a throat thing. So I'm not really sick. I just feel terrible.
Yeah, well, she sounds not that great.
Right.
But that's just how we celebrate the fact that this is episode 250. Woo-hoo. And that means almost 5 years of stressless camping.
Right.
I have to say, the only way we could do this is with you. And we are very grateful for you being with us. In fact, some of you have been here for quite some time. We also...
probably 250 episodes.
Yeah. And we also keep picking up new people thanks to your reviews and what you share with others and running into you in campgrounds and those places. So we're just very lucky and grateful to be able to serve you. And so thank you for 250 episodes of the Stressless Camping RV Podcast. And, well, I think we plan to keep going.
I hope so.
So we are recording this the day after a lot of people were looking to the skies, waiting for it to get dark. The solar eclipse was yesterday, April 8th. Today is April 9th as we're recording. And you will get this on the 11th or after, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, normal people would get their fancy solar glasses and look up and watch the moon eclipse the sun. I open up my compartment door and I'm looking at how is my solar system doing? Am I getting the charge still? What's happening? And until the sun was completely gone, I was getting a wee charge, but not a whole lot. But it just shows, you know, even in an eclipse, our power package with Mastervolt components from ABC Upfitters still did well. In fact, we have been off-grid camping the past couple days, yesterday at a farm in Texas and today at a alpaca farm in
Oklahoma,
both days off the grid. And as usual, the power system that we have, the lithium batteries, the solar, all of that was designed by ABC Upfitters. It just works. And if that's what you want in a solar and lithium system, whether it's a great big system, boy, they showed one this week that even lights up and everything, or you just want to add a little oomph to what you got, ABC Upfitters does a super job. They are good people with actual engineers on staff. So give them a call at 574-333-3225, or you can find them at the show notes of this podcast. And as always, our show notes are stresslesscamping.com. And there's a podcast tab there. Visit that. And that's where our show notes are. But like I say, the easy way to find them is to just talk to them on the old telephono, 574-333-3225, for our friends at ABC Upfitters. They just do great jobs with solar and lithium power systems powered by Mastervolt.
So I'm also a little off my feed, you could say. Anything that's spicy or crunchy or anything irritates my throat. So I haven't been eating a lot. Maybe I'll actually lose weight this week.
Ooh.
That would be nice. Therefore, we're going to talk about food.
This was my idea to talk about because there are so many. Well, it stemmed from this week. We were in last week we were in Louisiana with some friends, Brian and Patrick, who are just really fun people to camp with. Patrick particularly is from Ville Platte, Louisiana. And so we went on a second Boudin challenge. We went on a second Boudin challenge. It was a lot of fun to go with somebody who knows the lay of the land and all of that. And it made me think of all of the great regional foods that we have found since we've been traveling.
I mean, you could go anywhere in the world. And as Nick Russell said last week, you could go to anywhere in the U.S., I guess I should have said, and go to Denny's and you're going to get the same food. Go to McDonald's, you're going to get the same thing. It's going to taste the same no matter where you are. But there are some foods, like Boudin, for example, you really don't find them anywhere except where they're a regional favorite or the Walmart in Parker, Arizona.
Yeah.
We did find Boudin in Parker, Arizona Walmart, which is weird. But anyway, typically something like that you only find when you're in Louisiana.
And that's the beauty of travel. I guess we'll start with Boudin. I just can't say the word right. It's B-O-U-D-I-N. But I can share with you that we did another Boudin challenge. We've done that before. Last year when we were here, we took a few types of it. It's okay, so what that is it's a sausage with rice and pork mostly, although there's different meats too. The neat thing about this is that these sausages are made by local butcher shops, and some of them have gotten quite large, but they really take pride in what they do, and they're also different spices, different seasonings, and this is, to me, the real America, right? You go and there's this family or individual who's just so proud of what they do and how they do it. It just really makes a big difference in what your experience is. It's more fun to experience others' vision and passion and efforts. So anyway, the first thing is Boudin. And Boudin is that sausage. And we did a Boudin challenge again this year. And this time, Brian and Patrick were in on the event. That was pretty darn cool. We also went to a Boudin festival. And that was a whole lot of fun. I think I ate my weight in Boudin and drank my weight in
daiquiris.
But again, just a unique local thing to this part of Louisiana. Now, since we're in Louisiana, I want to talk about beignets. Those are, I think, the ones in New Orleans. So you travel to New Orleans and you have to go to Café Du Mont and get a beignet. And, you know, it's basically like a bread with a ton of powdered sugar. Yeah. But again, another reason to travel. New Orleans just has such a wonderful sight, sound, smell, but especially sound, because there are so many great bands just all over that place, playing on the street, playing in clubs, playing in restaurants. But anyway, so beignets are those powdered sugar donut things. But now we're going to move to New Mexico, because
yeah, just briefly, because in New Mexico, what people like to eat is sopapillas. And sometimes that's as a dessert. Sometimes it's a main dish with savory stuff inside. But for the most part, a sopapilla is something you eat at the end of your meal, and you fill it with honey, or you put honey on, well, if you're me, every single bite.
Yeah.
I remember pretty early on when we lived in New Mexico and we were out to dinner, and Mickey said, you know, a beignet is just a sopapilla with powdered sugar.
Yeah,
and really, I mean, it's just a kind of donut-y pastry thing, and they put different kind of sweetener on it.
I would say they're very similar. And yeah, the beignet has a ton of powdered sugar, and the sopapilla comes to your table in a basket, and then you can put honey on. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't put honey on. But I've also had sopapillas with different, like, meats, like green chili, for example.
Yeah, I've had them stuffed, so they're full of all kinds of good savory stuff.
Well, and then since we're going to talk about green chili, when we move to New Mexico, New Mexico prides itself in the hatch chilies, the chilies that are grown and roasted there.
Yeah.
And for good reason. They do a super job. The conditions are right. when we first moved there, I went to the local store, and in the butcher counter, I saw green chili bacon, and I'm like, ah, come on. You kind of have taken it too far.
Bacon is bacon, right?
Yeah, it's bacon. You don't need to do anything to bacon. And I kept seeing it. And then, you know, you're like in the town, and you're like, well,
when in Rome.
So I got some green chili bacon, and ooh la la, it is good. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even have people now ask me if I'm bringing it with me when I'm traveling.
Right.
But I have to tell you, it's hard to make green chili bacon that happens to be in my fridge or freezer last very long because I'm gonna be cooking it and eating it.
We have to go and buy it like the day before we go on a trip and put it immediately in the freezer so that it's still there when we're serving it to whoever we promised it to.
Yeah, and the greater the amount of time between when I'm picking it up and when I'm seeing you, the less likely you're going to see that green chili bacon. It will have already been eaten and processed, if you know what I mean. And then there's just a lot of chili stuff. So you come to New Mexico, and there's a lot of chili-based sauces and coverings and seasonings, and it is sort of the regional flavor of New Mexico. But something that really surprised me, we used to live in California, as many of you know, and you know there is a very large Mexican population, and they brought food with them from Mexico, duh, just like my people brought food from Germany.
Right.
But they brought food from Mexico. California has a very, I would say, distinct style of Mexican food. Surprisingly, there's some from the east coast of Mexico where there's a lot of seafood, but even the Baja Peninsula has a lot of seafood because, duh, it's right on the ocean.
Well, sure.
But the Mexican food in California, again, very different from, in many ways, different from the Mexican food or the Southwestern fare in New Mexico. So you might say, oh, it's Mexican food. No, it's very different.
You know what you don't ever get asked in California is, well, you do, but not in the way. In New Mexico, there is Hatch green chili, and then there's also red chilies. And almost all the New Mexico restaurants have choices of red or green.
Right.
And so you can get, you know, your whatever, your burrito or whatever with red sauce or green sauce. But if you want both.
Some people say they ask for Christmas, red and green. You know, again, regional differences make a difference.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't skip the local food when you go, and especially if there's something that it's known for regionally. Now, since we also went to California, I don't know how much this is a regional specialty, but In-N-Out is famous for having come from Southern California.
Yeah, back in the day, you could only get In-N-Out when you went to Southern California. And I knew people who would get it on the way to the airport and wrap it up and put it in their briefcase and take it home to someone.
Yeah, I mean, Southern California really was sort of the fast food hamburger capital for a very, very long time, right? Bob's Big Boy, In-N-Out, McDonald's.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. It's amazing how, you know, the car culture there really brought the taste. And if you haven't had an In-N-Out burger, well,
it's
a hamburger.
You almost are certain to find one as far east as, well, Albuquerque, Denver.
I think they're even in Texas.
Maybe, but definitely east of the Rockies now.
Yeah, that's interesting. That whole chain is owned by one individual.
Yeah.
No franchises of an In-N-Out. One of the unique things about them is they are known for treating and paying their team well, but they also make their own french fries right there in the store, and you can watch them, you know, process the potatoes. And that's why I don't like them, because good french fries to me are fried twice, and those are just fried ones. You can have them extra done, so they will customize your order.
Now, something that you still can only get in California, and now not even in Southern California.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if this is a temporary thing. I couldn't really find a good answer. But Pea Soup Anderson's restaurant. There used to be one in Solvang in Southern California. And there's one in Santanella in Central California.
Or as my dad used to call it, Salmonella.
Salmonella. And the Solvang one is closed right now. And I couldn't find if it's going to reopen as a Pea Soup Anderson's or as something else. But anyway, Pea Soup Anderson's is, I mean, they specialize in pea soup, obviously, but yep. they have a full menu of stuff. And we really like the Santanella one because it was a very convenient stopping point if we were going from Northern to Southern California to spend the night.
Yeah.
So we would pop in. If it was too late, we'd just buy some cheese. And if it was not too late, we'd go to dinner. And then we'd stay in the parking lot in our travel trailer and then stop in again for breakfast and then go on our merry way.
Yeah. R.I.P. Pea Soup Anderson's Salvang, but at least there's still one in Salmonella. I mean, Santanella. Well, if we're going regional restaurants, a famous, famous, famous one that we also now have to stop at is in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, or Amarillo, but it's Amarillo, I know. And that's the Big Texan, and that's the place where they have the 72-ounce steak. And if you can eat that 72-ounce steak with a baked potato, shrimp cocktail, salad, biscuit, and I think a drink.
Well, they give you a drink, a glass of water, I think.
Yeah. If you can eat that sucker in 1 hour, you can have it free. But I think you pay in advance, and I think it's, what, like $40 or something?
Or
like
60 or 70.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
I say it's $72, but that's the actual ounces.
Yeah,
but
that's how big the steak
is. That, it's somewhere up in that range of, you know, $70, $80
yeah.
to pay, and you pay in advance, and then if you eat your meal in an hour, then I guess they give you the money back.
But apparently there is some very, very petite lady who ate two or three of them.
Two or three of them in one, yeah.
And I guess she's known for being able to eat lots of food, but I don't know, I couldn't do that. However, they do have a steak lunch special that I get along with sweet tea, and they brew their own beer there. So
yes,
that's a must stop. We've stayed in their RV park. That one's neat too. We've stayed at their hotel, and there's a room if you go there that has one of our stickers in it. So there you go. Something to look for. And of course, don't not get the steak unless you're vegetarian. And then, well, as long as I'm going to restaurants that are memorable, that are regional. When I was in New Orleans last year, I wanted to find really good fried chicken. And now the best fried... Now, you know, New Orleans is where Popeyes comes from.
Oh.
It was originated there. So I figure, well, you know, they're known for fried... Although Kentucky, hello. Colonel Sanders. But the best fried chicken I think I've ever had was at a place called Gus's Fried Chicken near the Garden District of New Orleans. It was so good. And it had... You know, in New Orleans, they're not shy with spice.
Right.
And it had just a teeniest kick.
Yeah.
But not, like, I think even people who don't like spice would be fine with it.
Yeah,
it wasn't over the top. But if you're in New Orleans, oh boy, Gus's Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Other regional places to go to, and this started in Texas, Buc-ee's.
That's right. Now, Buc-ee's isn't necessarily a restaurant so much as more of a travel stop, gas station, and a ginormous travel shopping center. Now, I will say they always have great clean bathrooms.
Oh, they're known for their bathrooms.
And there's a whole bunch of them. So even when I walk in and the line is halfway across the store, the line like never really stops moving because there are so many stalls inside. And that's in the women's, obviously.
Yeah.
There are great clean bathrooms. And then there's like, you could shop for anything, you know, especially I think if you were like looking for a gift, regional gift, maybe that would be a great place to look. But also the snackage.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. They have the wall of nuts and the wall of jerky. And one of the things that are really associated with them is a thing called beaver nugget. Well, okay, so their mascot is a beaver.
Right.
Right, Buc-ee Beaver. And they have this puffed corn thing called beaver nuggets.
Yeah, and they have different flavors, but I think the original was like a caramel, kind of a caramel popcorn, puffed corn.
Yeah.
They also have, they're very famous for their brisket sandwiches.
Yeah, they'll yell, hey, a fresh brisket, and the sandwiches are coming out. They also make other things with it. So, well, since we're talking brisket, one of the best barbecue joints I think I have ever been to. And, you know, Texas is known for its own style of barbecue. And I know there's Kansas City barbecue and there are different styles, but one of the best places I've been to was just a couple weeks ago at a place called Hard Eight Smoke Pit Barbecue in the Colony near Dallas, Texas. And we have an article about that place and some other things in the area. But this place, you walk in and there's these two towers of coals. And then they take those coals and put them in pit smokers. And then you go up to like a big table that's also heated by those coals. And that's where the meat just is. So you buy it by the weight. So you could
say,
get...
give me a couple slices of that and give me two ribs and give me some of those bacon-wrapped shrimp. And...
yeah. So you're buying by the weight. And there's as good barbecue, there is no barbecue sauce on it. You can put barbecue sauce later. And they have two kinds in like... heated steam tables.
Yeah, and like warmers, so yeah. The sauce is warm. And also when you dine in, they have a pot of pinto beans, just all you can eat pinto beans to go with your
What could go wrong with all you
right?
can eat beans?
Now we met our friends Joe and Lori there and had a great, great lunch, and then we went exploring and then decided since we were still in the area, we might as well go back for dinner. So we've eaten at Hard Eight twice and they were both on the same day.
Yep. Well, since I think we kind of veered off on regional restaurants, talking In-N-Out and all of that. Another place that I really, it's regional and you already probably have your own opinion if you've eaten at one of these, White Castle.
Yeah.
They're teeny hamburgers and you get a whole bunch of them. They're cooked, I think, with onions. There's just something about it. I don't know. It's...
they're good enough that we go kind of each time that we go through that area.
Yeah, but that's partially because it is White Castle, right? It's a regional thing. We love regional stuff, so we go to White Castle. We've also been to Waffle House, and if you see a Waffle House, it's open, right? That's their slogan. We've only been once, and I was just totally underwhelmed.
Yeah, I was not a fan. Well, actually, I've technically been twice. I went years and years ago with my friends Van and Wes, and we went in, sat down, and the waitress came over and said, I need to tell you that we're out of waffles. And
how do you run out of waffles?
I mean, it's flour and milk, right? How do you run out?
Yeah, and eggs.
So Wes just looked at us and said, well, nothing else here is worth eating. So we got up and left, which is a fun memory. But then Tony and I went to a Waffle House, and it was lunchtime. And I thought, oh, I don't care. I'm having waffles anyway. Well, they don't sell waffles at lunchtime. They sell, you know, sandwiches. And they only serve hash browns as a side dish. And hash browns, of all the potato dishes I don't like, that's the one I don't like among the highest.
Yeah. You know,
it's a regional thing. People go. People talk all about it. I suppose if you're leaving a bar at 2:30 in the morning and that's the only thing open, that's a good reason to go.
But yeah, those hash browns are going to come in handy.
Yeah.
Since I'm kind of not fond of Waffle House, I'm going to also call out Michigan Upper Peninsula is known for pasties.
Yeah.
They should be called pasties. I know the origin is for the miners and the wives would give them the pasties in the morning and they'd be able to, you know, eat them at lunch. It tasted
salt is actually a preservative, so they could put some kind of seasoning
in it. Oh my gosh, these things were so bland. I was just, I guess it's because I, you know, you hear where I'm like raving about food in New Orleans and food in New Mexico and food where they actually have, you know, there's this thing called spice. And I don't know if it's made it all the way up to Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Although, I have to say the fudge up there was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite places, again, regional stuff. One of my favorite places to stop when we go to Indiana is this place called the Uranus Fudge Factory. And I can't say it without laughing. And truthfully, you know, their slogan is, the best fudge comes from Uranus.
Yep. So Uranus is actually name. I don't know if it's officially a town name or if that shopping center thing called itself that town name and got it to stick. But it's in Missouri. And
there's one in Indiana, too.
Oh, that's true. You're right. But it's a whole, like, kind of mall. I know the one in Missouri has, like, there's a museum, there's a playground, there's a barbecue truck that's sometimes open, and then there's the fudge store.
And if you are a big fan of childish, off-color jokes,
oh boy,
that is the place to go.
Indeed.
And I am a fan of childish, off-color jokes, and so I just love it. The fudge in Michigan was better to me, especially Joanne's. Mackinac Island is known for their fudge, and boy, there's a bunch of fudge places there. And it's really good.
But Uranus is just so much fun.
It just is a silly place, and I like the silly places. So, in fact, if you watch our video about the Boudin Challenge, you will see me wearing my The Best Fudge Comes from Uranus t-shirt. So, yeah. Anyway, well, since we were on our way up to Indiana from New Mexico, I'm going to go to Amish country and call out the Amish buffets. Amish buffets are trippy to me because there's a lot of, it's like crock pot food to me.
Yeah, there's different meats. You know, there might be a beef and a pork and a chicken, but they're all kind of stewed or crock potted. So they're all sort of similar in texture, juicy and shredded.
Yeah.
What surprises me is that the Amish people or the people in that region, they have mashed potatoes. Great. They have buttered noodles, also great.
Which, if you're Italian, if you're Italian and you taste those noodles, you are going to lose your mind.
Oh, yeah,
because
they're more buttered than noodles.
They're so overcooked.
Yeah, overcooked and over buttered.
Well, wait, hang on now. As like there's
for
such
an
a
Italian.
Thing.
For
no,
an
Italian. I'm sorry. There is no such thing as over buttered. I demand a recount on that vote.
But people who spend a lot of time in Amish buffets tend to pile the noodles on top of the potatoes.
Yeah.
And then add the meat on top of that. And to me, I mean, carbs on carbs on carbs. Wow. I want to just, you know, taste the noodles for their butter, I guess. I'm not a huge fan of potatoes, so I can skip that whole layer.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with her, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's maybe I'll take her back to the urgent care a third time to see why she doesn't like potatoes. Because, oh my gosh. Anyway, so there's two Amish buffets that we've been to. That's Dutchman Essenhaus in Middlebury, and the Blue Gate Cafe. Blue Gate Cafe
in Shipshawana.
And I'm telling you, if you're gonna go, start with the Blue Gate, and you could just go for pies because they have this nutty selection of pies, like insane numbers, and you don't just get like wee little tastes.
Yeah, like most of the time in a buffet, the dessert will be like maybe a big like cobbler or something, so you can scoop out a scoopful, or you could get a small brownie or a cookie. Oh no, at the Blue Gate Cafe, your dessert is a slice of pie, a full-on slice. So don't overfill or else you are not going to have room for your dessert.
Nope. And they're good pies. And I mean, the choices, I'm a big fan of peanut butter pie. We shared a recipe a few weeks back. They not only have peanut butter pie, they have peanut butter and chocolate pie.
Mm.
They have fruit pies. They have, it's just nuts. So you could go there and just eat pie and then call your blood sugar doctor or whatever. Because you overloaded. But, you know, there you go.
When in Rome.
So, another thing, since we're in Amish country in Indiana, between Shipshawana, which is where we love camping.
To camp and hang out there. It's so cute.
It is a cute little town. So, between Shipsha and Millersburg, which is where the Rockwoods and Flagstaffs are built, there's a place called Rise and Roll Bakery. It is just known for what are referred to as Amish crack donuts.
Yeah.
Because
they're so addictive. So it's a fried donut, of course, like any good donut. Then they dip them in caramel and then they cover them in, well, if you know about beignets and how much powdered sugar's on a beignet, well, double that because they're putting cinnamon powdered sugar on these carameled donuts and rivals any beignet powder that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're just, you have to get them when you go there.
They are so good.
Since we're in Shipsha, we're going to make a quick stop at Yoder's Meats and Cheese.
Yeah.
And that's a butcher shop again. Another, you know, regional, local, proud to make what they make place. There's nothing I would say unusual at Yoder's, but I just like their meats and cheeses.
They're great. It's a great selection. That's all the meat is really good. A lot of it is already frozen. So basically, we just fill up our freezer for whatever amount of time we have left in our trip that we're on.
Yeah.
When we're in Indiana.
We also get a stupid number of beef sticks and cheese sticks.
Beef sticks and cheese sticks.
Those are my road snacks. Yep. Beef sticks and cheese sticks.
So it's just fun to go there and, you know, kind of plan out the next 10 or 20 meals.
Yeah.
With meat that we can pick up at Yoder's.
Yeah. A few more here. Boy, we're going on and on about these regional foods, but there are so many. And I know we have not scratched the surface, but we did in St. Louis have like a cracker crust pizza.
Well, a St. Louis style pizza.
Yeah, it was like cracker crusts,
Provel cheese, which people warned me I wasn't going to like. But honestly, Provel cheese is provolone, mozzarella, and something. It's just three cheeses mixed together. It's really not its own thing. It's just, maybe it's an odd combination, I don't know, but some people have very strong feelings against Provel. But we're kind of thicker crust pizza people, and so to have Provel and sauce on a cracker was probably not a pizza experience we will likely continue.
It wasn't really pizza, it was like an appetizer.
But that's how they make their pizza.
I know. Well, they also had deep fried ravioli there.
They did.
I thought they were kind of a little over fried, but
that might have just been one
thing.
Day, one time.
But conversely, deep dish pizza in Chicago, especially at...
We went to Giordano's, and turns out that that's just a chain, and you can find Giordano's anywhere in the Chicago area, but give yourself like an hour, because it takes a long time to bake that super thick pan pizza.
Although it's fun to watch them make it.
It is.
Here's the other tip, though. If you are on Navy Pier and you are waiting an hour for your pizza,
parking is going to be outrageous.
Yeah, you will spend more on parking than you have on that pizza.
Literally.
But oh well.
So we did that. We paid our $38 parking fee on Navy Pier. And then we were driving around Chicago and there were Giordano's on every corner.
Yeah,
so we didn't actually have to eat it there. We just didn't know.
It was an experience and we enjoyed Navy Pier.
It was
Pier,
fun.
So. Another interesting local place is in Kansas City, Missouri. And I've talked about Kansas barbecue.
My cousin Julie and Sean taken us to a few
different
places.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What really was memorable, because again, I'm a 12-year-old child, Fritz's Train Restaurant,
yeah,
where there's trains kind of all over, but the more important ones are the ones up in the sky or on, you know, like a overhead rail that bring your food to you. And that was just cool. And the food was nothing exceptional.
Burgers, yeah.
Burgers and hot dogs and that sort of
stuff.
But
it's super fun delivery system, because it's a track over your head and you watch and you see a train coming. You're like, oh, is it mine? Is it mine? It goes right past you. Like, darn, it wasn't mine.
But
and
then
when it is yours, it stops. There's like a break kind of thing. And then it like kind of comes down an elevator so that you can reach your tray, and you pull your tray off and the elevator goes back up and gets on the train and it takes off again.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
It's really fun.
And you get a hat. I still have mine.
Yes.
In Tennessee, when we were in Pigeon Forge, we went to the Wild Bear Tavern
and had
what they called an appetizer. It's a German restaurant. I was all excited. You don't see many of those.
Right. Well, actually, what we did, we went in and there was another couple there. And we like, this is
now,
what you do,
what do you
right?
Got?
You look and they're like, oh, we ordered this three or four appetizers and it's totally enough for a meal. And so we did that. We got some great beer. And then we got like a giant pretzel and a meat and cheese tray. And
typical German sausages.
Really good. Really good. And it was a great, fun meal to eat.
Yes, it was. Also in Tennessee, in Jackson, is the Old Country Store restaurant and Casey Jones Museum. And they had a buffet of more Southern specialties, including fried bologna.
Yeah, we were there for breakfast. And
so
we kind of overloaded ourselves on fried bologna because it was there.
Oh, yeah.
Not like it's hard to make at home, but, you know, we don't usually think of that. And so we did that, and then we went to the museum and walked around the museum, and that was super nice.
Yeah, Casey Jones was an engineer. Yeah. There's a whole song about him. So
that's right.
And a few people have covered it. Well, we had talked about the loss potentially of Pea Soup Anderson's in Solvang. Apparently developers have bought it and are tearing it down. That's the word, at least what I heard. And that is also true of a place that I have been going to since I was but a wee lad and first came to this country, called Alpine Village, and was a German butcher in Torrance, California, Southern California.
That's another place we used to go and fill our freezer.
Oh, yeah. And incredible sausages and all of that. And it also has gone away. So I don't like seeing these regional places disappear. So my advice to all of you is to try to patronize these local places as much as possible so that they don't disappear, because as Nick said last week, and as Peggy alluded to earlier, these regional places are really what makes this country special and worth visiting. So make sure when you go, skip the Denny's, skip the Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Find something that you've never tried before and that might have either local specialties, like types of food, like boudin, or see how the locals do it.
Right.
So that's our advice to you this week. And I was going to say this is going to be a short episode, but it's really not
that short. But
because it's food. I can't stop. Right. You think that's bad. Let's get a beer episode going.
We're not going to do the rest of our, you know, kind of normal segments. I just don't feel up to it. So we're just going to leave you with this food for thought. And we're going to thank you for listening, and we'll be back to normal next week.
Yeah, but also we always pitch our fun and friendly Stressless Campers Facebook group. And I'd love to know what regional foods you found.
Yes, please.
Pictures, locations, because we have wheels and are willing to go travel. We have teeths and we're willing to use them. So
we have taste buds too, by the way. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we like seasoning.
Right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. We appreciate you again. 250 episodes. Ooh la la. We are so pleased that we've gotten to this point.
Yes, indeed.
And it's not without you being there on your end of this microphone, as it were.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any point in doing this if you weren't listening.
Yeah. It just, as I've said before, it'd just be too people yapping into a microphone. So with that, thank you so much. Have a great week and stressless camping.
We hope you learned a lot and had some fun and got some tips for your next stressless camping adventure. We're honored by your reviews on Apple Podcasts, which helps others find us too. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss out on the adventure, and we look forward to your joining us next week. Until then, happy camping!